We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome back into the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show, live and local with you till 11 o'clock. 404-741-0929. That's our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to interact with the show and be a part of it. Streaming online, if you go to 929 The Game. Wow, gosh, went Peter Brady there on you. 929 The Game, if you want to, .com, if you want to catch the show live. Catch replays of all of our shows, interviews, best moments. It's our new and improved website, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put it on whatever device that you've got, your phone, your tablet. If you've got a boombox, turntable, Sega Genesis, Commodore 64, whatever you got, Texas Instruments calculator, whatever you got out there, download it so you can always catch us on the go. Social media-wise, everything is at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the different platforms. The best way, as always, to follow this particular show is be on our Twitter. That is, mine is at JMCH316, at JMCH316, all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Jarvis is our producer, our executive producer. You can catch him at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Follow us on Twitter and be a part of the conversation. So day two of SEC Media Days from Hoover, Alabama, the unofficial kickoff to the college football season. I always consider it to be that this is kind of the unofficial start, if you will, because once you get past this, then everything kind of goes downhill from there and everything moves right along and all of a sudden the season picks itself back up very quickly. Now, today was a big day in SEC Media Days because the University of Georgia and those Georgia Bulldogs were there. And, you know, we'll talk to Chris Goforth at 9:40, but, you know, separate of Alabama, who's its own entity and brand and all these kinds of things, that cachet that Alabama has, okay? Right now, Georgia's the next sexiest program going in the SEC, and they're one of the sexy programs in all of America. So right now is a good time in the, you know, in the world of being a Georgia Bulldog. And there's a lot of interest from media, from fans, from everything about what's going on out there in Athens with this particular program out there. So you had Kirby Smart today. You had Jake Fromm, Andrew Thomas. Let's let you start to hear from some of these guys as some of the sounds from SEC Media Days today. Here's Kirby Smart talking about his quarterback, Jake Fromm, as an NFL prospect.
Jake's got tremendous ability. He's a leader. That's the first quality you look for. We had a guy come speak the other day to our team talking about the characteristics that scouts look for. He checks every single box on that list. He's won a lot of football games. He's thrown touchdowns, and he hasn't thrown many interceptions. I mean, all those qualities that he has are going to give him a chance at success whenever he chooses to go to the NFL.
You know, we kind of joked a little bit about the idea of Georgia. They could end up with the number one overall pick in basketball in Anthony Edwards. They could end up with the number one overall pick in baseball in this, what's the kid's name? Is it Hancock? That the pitcher, Emerson Hancock, the big starting pitcher. He's a load. And a lot of people think that he is going to be the number one overall pick in the MLB draft. But some people think that Jake Fromm at the end of the day could be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Running an NFL-friendly system, 3 years as a starter, obviously a NFL-caliber type of coach. You know, there's a lot to like about Jake Fromm. Now, I don't know. Does he transfer as much into the NFL as some guys? I don't know. I mean, that's for all the scouts and everything to decide and, you know, put their 2 cents in and probably get wrong as well. Your opinion is probably just as valid as most of theirs. But a lot of teams are going to like a Jake Fromm type of guy, a leader and a guy who's been, starting in that in a great college program for the last several years out there. And there's no question that if Jake Fromm, in my mind at least, if he's another, 3,000 yards and 30 touchdowns for Georgia, man, he's gone. He's not coming back for another season. He's on the way out. And if he does those kind of numbers, 3,030 touchdowns, teams are going to be real interested in him. Assuming he doesn't work out terrible, assuming he doesn't have some kind of ridiculous workout issue or whatever like that, teams are going to be drastically interested in having the services of Jake Fromm. And it's so invaluable to have an upperclassman quarterback that you believe in and can trust to help you win games out there. No question about the fact that having a guy like Jake Fromm as a leader of your football program is a huge reason why that Georgia is going to be, again, 3 or 4 at worst in America. Here's Kirby Smart. Obviously, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is, how do you beat Alabama? Well, here's what Kirby Smart had to say about that.
The next step for us, and I don't mean this to be trite, but is Vanderbilt. You have to get to that point because we don't have Alabama on our schedule. We know that Alabama's been very powerful in this conference for a long time. We respect the job they do. Got a lot of respect for Coach Saban and his program. I probably wouldn't be here today if it weren't for him. But I also understand that we've got a really good program, too. We've been able to recruit at a high level. I'm excited about this team we've got coming back. And biggest thing is concerning ourselves with us and not concerning ourselves with somebody else.
Now, the one part, by the way, too, did you hear the funny part of that that clip that wasn't played where they asked him, how do you beat Alabama? And he said, well, you got to knock out their backup quarterback take out their backup quarterback, right? Because it was Tua who led them back, the backup quarterback Tua at that time, led them back in the national title game against Georgia. And then, of course, Jalen Hurts comes in against Georgia in the SEC championship game and leads them to victory. And he kind of made a joke about, if we can just knock out their backup quarterback, then we got a shot at all of it. So, look, it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. It's the one big hurdle that Georgia's got to find a way to get over. How do you get past Alabama, Well, one is you can't make mistakes. Two is you got to coach your tail off, okay? Because they're not going to go out there and beat themselves. You're not going to find Alabama trying to go out there and beat themselves with anything. So you got to make sure that you handle your business and you take care of everything, because if not, you open that door up and Nick Saban is going to take a bulldozer and break it down with that. Obviously, another hot topic for Georgia, should the Florida-Georgia game be an on-campus game and not held in Jacksonville? Here's what Kirby Smart had to say about the UGA-Florida game.
I'm for what's best for the University of Georgia, and as a group and as a staff and as administration, and we'll look at that internally and make the decisions based on what is best for our student-athletes and what's best for the university. I don't get caught up in the emotion of this decision or that decision. I look at it from a perspective of 10,000 feet where I say, what is best for our program? And it's that simple.
I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe am I in the minority? I like the idea of having these neutral site games. You can tell me it is or it isn't, but it's a neutral site game. I like games at Jerry's World or the Superdome or wherever that you want to have this type of game. The Red River Shootout that happens in what is that, the Cotton Bowl, still the old Cotton Bowl Stadium. I like the idea of Jacksonville having a game like this. Great college football rivalry. Gives fans a chance to go to a different kind of place, different kind of atmosphere, and have some different fun versus just kind of being on campus and it's kind of the same old type of thing. I like the idea of playing in Jacksonville. I know Randy McMichael doesn't. He thinks it should be on campus, but I like the idea of playing games like this in a neutral site. Make it feel bigger. Make it feel like it's an event. That's what's great about opening weekend of college football is not just the matchups that you get, but where they're playing. Jerry's World, right? They're going to host Alabama and Michigan. That's a big deal, and it's going to happen in Jerry's World or here at the Dome, or here at Mercedes-Benz Chick-fil-A kickoff game. We got Auburn and Washington. That's a big deal to have those kinds of games, in those types of stadiums versus Alabama, Washington, and Tuscaloosa. It's bigger to have it in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Now, J.J. Holloman was a guy who had his issues and ended up removed from the team. Here's Kirby Smart talking about Holloman and his removal from it.
We were made aware early in June, this June, that there was an incident. And once we made immediate action to remove him from the team. And very unfortunate. Wish JJ nothing but the best.
Well, you know, here's the thing is that he's your basically your number one wide receiver going into this season. Whether he'd have finished that way or not, I'm not really sure. But he is your number one wide receiver at this point going into the season. So it is a big loss because you don't have a lot of connection with some of the guys early on on it. They have talent at wide receiver for Georgia, but they don't have experience. And that's a big key. That's a big key is by the end of the year, maybe this group comes together. But initially, there could be some growing pains with it. Let me let you hear from Jake Fromm as he talks about the two new coordinators that UJ has and what they're going to be able to do for this team.
You know, both are great coordinators, guys who are very, very well respected. You know, Coach Cole, he's done a great job, you know, implementing his stuff and having fun with it. You know, he brings a lot of juice to the offensive room, a lot to the quarterback room, and a lot to the team. So he's fun, makes it great to play for. He's always coming up with new ideas and coming up with new things. He's a guy who he can text me at 6 o'clock in the morning and text me again at 11 o'clock at night. You know, and we go back and forth all day long. So it's fun, it's exciting, and can't wait, you know, for this fall.
So. Are you a bow tie wearer at all, Jarvis? You like a bow tie? No. Not the D-Led, not the Jake. Jake Fromm was rocking the bow tie today. It was an oversized bow tie, too. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know. I could probably do without all that. Of course, some people are starting to say that about my beard, too, so... Anyway, that's a whole other story for another day. When we get back, our buddy Gabe Burns, as we're watching some Braves baseball taking place here, Gabe, the beat writer for the AJC that covers the Braves, we'll talk with him and get his thoughts about this second half of the season and lots of things going on in Braves world. It's all next. John Chuckery Show in the Key Studio, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show live from the Kia Studios as Braves continue in action in Milwaukee before getting a chance to come home to take on the Washington Nationals. Game 2 coming up tonight. Out to the WadeFord.com hotline we go to break all of it down. It's our guy, Gabe Burns. He is the Braves beat writer for the AJC. As always, does a great job on Twitter. Keep up with him at Gabe Burns AJC. As always, Gabe, thanks for the time and appreciate you jumping on with us.
Yeah, sure thing, John. Always glad to come on.
Looking at your Twitter, and I think it's an interesting question to get into. Forget what we think, okay? How far do you think the Braves are willing to go in who they would give up to make a run? You know, I've been looking at the power rankings, and the Dodgers are always number one, but there's nobody ahead of the Braves in the National League other than the Dodgers. How far down the rabbit hole do you think that if the right deal came along, this team would be willing to give up some prospects and some guys that a lot of people may not want to give up?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I'm not sure. You know, they've tried so hard since Alex has come aboard. Alex Anthopoulos, the GM, he's tried so hard since he's come aboard to kind of hang on to these top prospects that they spent all these years accumulating. But, I mean, the way a lot of us are looking at it, myself included, is this window is open, and it's very clear there's not a team better than them in the National League. I think that when you look at, like, Chicago, Milwaukee, I mean, they're on par, if not better. Like, you could argue it either way. But, I mean, the point is that the Dodgers are really the only team right now that you go, okay, this team's better than the Braves. So now that your window is open, you have all these assets. You have, you know, so much we talk about this flexibility. You have that. You have room to kind of take on some money. So I do think it's going to be really intriguing to kind of see how they play it because, one, we have yet to see Anthopoulos kind of be the aggressive GM that he got the reputation for in Toronto. He's played it much safer this time around. I mean, the Keuchel deal essentially really kind of fell into his lap just given the way that, you know, everything unfolded there. And then he had the past relationship with Donaldson. And it's not like, you know, they went ahead and they did pay Donaldson a handsome sum to get him kind of signed up early in an off season where things otherwise weren't really happening. So I'm not sure. Another thing I said on Twitter was I'm not totally sure that the right guy is going to be there to be worth, like, if the Mets say they're not going to trade DeGrom, that's not happening. But in a world where they did, and they were, for whatever reason, willing to deal with the Braves, that's the kind of guy I think you can really push the chips in for. And I'm just not sure that that level of player is going to be available during this current cycle. But then again, we don't know everyone who is. So I know that they're not going to be willing to enter heavy bidding wars for rentals. So when we're looking at, you know, Will Smith, who's the really popular reliever with the Giants, obviously, you know, he's from Atlanta, huge Falcons fan. He would be a perfect fit in the bullpen here. There's going to be lots of teams getting at, trying to get him. And I'm not, I would be surprised if they entered a heavy bidding war and won it. And Bumgarner, of course. So there's lots of, I mean, so as far as the rentals go, and those are kind of the main guys out there. So when I'm looking at the landscape, it's a tough situation because the team should go for it. This is a real window for them. But at the same time, there's going to be more guys available in the offseason who better fit them from the perspective of, you know, getting bang for their buck.
Braves beat writer for the AJC, Gabe Burns, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Two parts to this question. I know it goes against everything that anybody would want to actually think about in baseball today, but if the Braves had to go in the playoffs right now, one is, do you think that Brian Snicker would be willing to use a guy like Mike Soroka in a 1-3-7 or 1-4-7 scenario? And two is, if Mike Soroka is this ace that we believe, and this lead keeps kind of expanding in the division, do you try to start watching that, you know, my favorite new term, load management of his innings and things, and realistically say, hey, man, let's slow you down so that you've got guns blazing when we get to the playoffs?
Yeah, I think the Braves would be happy if the playoffs started now, considering how they're playing and how kind of everyone's firing on all cylinders. But as far as Soroka goes, if he's still maintaining his current performance in the, like, around October, I think he has to be a 1-3-7 type guy. I mean, if you're trying to win, then that's what you have to do. I mean, age, kind of an age be damned thing, because if he's your best guy, you have this opportunity here. If he's pitching this way in October, and again, we don't know how he's going to pitch in October. Obviously, you know, Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher of this era, and he's never been known as an October guy. So right. We have no clue yet how Soroka's going to react there. But assuming that he's more than capable in that spot, you have to go to him. And as for, you know, are they going to give him the Kawhi treatment? In an ideal world, I think that their lead is big enough that they can kind of tinker with that. Now, obviously, this franchise has seen leads slip away in September before. I mean, we're aware you can't really play it too safe, especially with Washington. I mean, Washington right now has a real argument as the third best team in the NL, and they're just going to keep getting better. So I'm not sure how you can do it, but we've obviously talked about this a lot. So I think that with Soroka, you know, you can kind of space out his starts more. Maybe you skip him here or there. A phantom IL stint is always an option. I mean, there's different ways to kind of, manage his load. I mean, there's just several different ways that they can do it, and I just can't, even with the way Snit's doing it now, where he never really considers pushing Mike and pushing him through that next inning. He's always, I would rather lift him, or, you know, too early than too late. And so they're conscious of it. It's going to come into play. It's going to be a major second half storyline. So I'm definitely curious to see how they end up handling it. But I think the safest bet here would be that they skip him a couple of times. Maybe, you know, especially once rosters expand, they can space out his starts a little bit. And I wouldn't be that surprised if they ended up maybe putting him on the IL or something to just kind of give him a short break.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show as we're on the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our guy Gabe Burns joining us, Braves beat writer for the AJC, as we talk about the Atlanta Braves game 2 tonight in Milwaukee. Ender Inciarte is eligible to be activated this weekend. If, let's just say that that does happen, what do you think the roster spot is? Could it be Camargo going down so that he can play every day?
Yeah, so logically speaking, that's the move. They absolutely cannot let Matt Joyce go. That's not even an option, but Matt Joyce has been another godsend for them, kind of in a way that Charlie was for them last year. Camargo's the move. They can definitely kind of get him, you know, let him play more regularly down there, you know, and it would probably only be temporary. These things have a way of sorting themselves out. It's just due to the circumstance, and they're coming back. There's not really anything else they can do because they're not going to go a pitcher short. So for now, they're going to do that. And not to mention, with Ender, you have a backup center, or you have a backup center fielder now, which, you know, if Acuña were to get hurt, that's why when everyone talks about trading Ender right now, I'm not really sure how feasible that would be, because first of all, his value is not where it would want you want it to be in order to trade him. And second of all, you need a backup center fielder in the event that Acuña goes down, you know. So for right now, Camargo looks like the definite move, and it might not be the worst thing for Camargo either, to just kind of play regularly, play around the diamond down there, and then come back probably shortly. Again, like I said, these things have a way of sorting themselves out, so I wouldn't think Camargo would end up down there for very long.
Gabe, I know, you know, obviously Brian McCann's been a great story, and they've gotten a lot of good contributions out of Tyler Flowers, but, you know, you and I have talked about this since, you know, spring training, about, speaking of load management for your two catchers, you got a guy in Alex Jackson, I think it's four straight games in the minors, he's homered. Do you think that's a position that they start to think about, okay, maybe we give Jackson a little bit of a shot, if nothing else, to make sure Flowers and McCann are fresh as we get down the stretch with them as well?
Not in the immediate future. I haven't thought as much about that, not in the immediate future, but it's definitely on the table in September. I think that, you know, the roster expanding, given this team, this organization's depth now, that's really going to help them pitching-wise, and it can definitely help them with Alex Jackson there. I mean, for him to come up and get that experience, they can get a better feel for kind of what they have there, too. They're not, I mean, obviously they just took a catcher in the first round. Contreras is really highly regarded, so they have two kind of young catchers who are vying for that catcher of the future label that everybody likes to use. So with Alex Jackson, you're looking at, what is this guy? You know, maybe they can at least let him play. If he plays well, then maybe you have another trade chip there. So there's some benefits to it aside from that. I think a lot of it will have to do with the standings, just like with Soroka, depending on how, again, in an ideal world, you know, if they're up 10 games in September, you know, or even more than that. I just, at this point, given how well they're playing, eventually they are going to cool off. I'm not sure that this pace could be sustainable, but you would have to assume eventually they do cool off a little bit, and we'll see where Washington is at that point. So looking far ahead, in their ideal world, yes, I think Alex Jackson is kind of playing some. McCann and Flowers can rest a little bit, and there's just an all-around benefit for everybody there.
Gabe, last thing for you. We're going to put your fortune teller hat on and try to figure this out. I know Soroka. I know Keuchel. Who ends up being that third starter for the Braves, assuming that it's a playoff team?
Freed, barring no trade. I think it would be Freed. And we'll see what happens with that. We're looking at, you know, what's going to happen. Like, people continue to say, like, well, with Folty and everything, at this point, you have to just count on Folty as a complete wild card. He's not a guy that I would even bother saying.
Are they ready to just kind of write him off for this year? I mean, I know that sounds harsh when I say it that way, but, mm-hmm. I mean, are they ready to just kind of say, okay, this is just not Mike Foltynewicz's year?
I mean, it's kind of, they're kind of forced to. I mean, that's not to say they write it off Mike, like, that he can't turn it around or that he's not a long-term fit here or anything like that. But this year, moving forward, they're the second-best team in the National League, and they can't afford to sit there and say, well, what if Mike turns it around and we have this piece in the playoffs, be it as a starter or as a reliever? At this point, whatever you get out of him is gravy, you know? So that's why I'm saying for right now it would be – and it depends on matchups, too. Like last year, Julio, you know, everyone made such a big deal out of Julio Teheran not starting a game against L.A., but had they played the Rockies, which they were a game away from doing, he would have started a game. So it really does depend on matchups there. So I think, you know, right now it would be Max Fried. In their ideal world, I think they would still like to bring on another battle-tested starter and then have that guy kind of there, and that way they're not as reliant on Max right now, because you're already putting so much on Soroka's shoulders. I think that optimally you don't want to have Soroka and Freed to win a 7-game series or 5-game series.
And watching the Braves right now, 0-0 in the second inning, but Braves are threatening a little bit right here. Coming up next, it is time for What's Bugging Chuckery. We may be saying bye-bye to the big baller brand. I'll give you that story next. It's the John Chuckery Show, live from the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 99 The Game. Game, John Chuckery, tonight. Off tomorrow, back at it Thursday and Friday. It's your new night show from 7-Eleven every day, unless there's an Atlanta United game or what have you, which we got tomorrow night. Don't forget Atlanta United, Houston Dynamo, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the place. Pre-game is at 6:30. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock. Also, two Atlanta United supporters, Dukes and Bell, going to be broadcasting live from the Gulch from 2 to 6:30 tomorrow for the Atlanta United versus Houston match. Bring some Hey Man Ale and tailgate with 92.9 The Game beforehand. Then it'll take you right into pregame with Mike Connie and Jason Longshore. We'll have pregame match, and then they'll have the call and all the postgame and everything like that. So should be interesting times. Atlanta United really needs a win and needs to protect home field, and then figure it out from there as DC United will come in. Speaking of needing to try to figure it out, let's get to what's bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Does everybody remember the Big Baller brand? Raise your hand if you remember the Big Baller brand. Right? Remember I was going to take off? Going to be something? There's a picture where at a local volleyball tournament, yeah, let me repeat that. A local volleyball tournament out in L.A. I don't know if you saw this picture or not, Jarvis, but there were a couple of tables set up selling Big Baller brand merchandise. Okay? Ready for the prices? Because they had a clearance sale. Cash only. Hats at $5. T-shirts at $5. Hoodies were $15. Ball jerseys were $50. And for $100, you could get a cash only deal. One pair of shoes, one hoodie, one T-shirt, one pair of socks. Safe to say that Big Baller brand is going away. Now, if you look at the picture, I have no clue who the person is that is selling this stuff. Because it's got all the, what do you call them? The tablecloths with Big Baller brand and all that good kind of stuff on there. But I have no idea who this person is at the table. It ain't Lonzo Ball or what's his name? Who's the old man? Is it Lon? No, what's the old man's name? LeVar Ball. But it is kind of funny because they got all the merchandise and everything out there. And everything is on clearance and on discount. Now, somebody sent this to Darren Rovell. And Darren Rovell tweeted out about the fact that, I have seen this. I have not seen this, so I can't confirm. But I guess, has their website supposedly been, quote unquote, under construction for the last few months? Because that's what Darren Rovell tweeted out about the fact that their website has been under construction the last few months. Meaning, basically, they don't have a website anymore. And now you're selling shirts and stuff at $5. How about for $100, you can get shoes, a hoodie, a T-shirt, and shorts? How about that? How desperate do you... take that back. Hoodie, T-shirt, and socks. And shoes. Safe to say that the salad days of the Big Baller brand are probably behind us. Safe to say that the, high and mighty times of Big Baller brand, as by the way, the irony of it is the guy who is selling the stuff has a Stay in Your Lane shirt that he's wearing. Honestly, for $5, I'd buy a Stay in Your Lane shirt. What do you think? For $5? Yeah, I'd buy a Stay in Your Lane. I think that's a pretty... I kind of like that shirt. Jarvis, maybe what I'll do is if I can find a place that gets us the Stay in Your Lane shirts, maybe I'll try to figure out a way to get us a couple because they're only $5. And I'm full-time radio now, so even I can afford, $10. So assuming they don't charge you a ton of shipping and everything else to go along with it. So, who knows? Maybe, you know, one day we'll do a remote for the show, Jarvis, and we can have some Stay in Your Lane t-shirts that are out there. Think maybe we can get one for Paul Crane, too? Yeah. I can afford $15. I got multiple full-time jobs now. Certainly I can afford $15 for it. So, yeah. That whole LeVar Ball thing, you know, sometimes if you just kind of stay out your lane and just let things kind of progress, Mother Nature or karma or whatever you want to, you know, talk about will kind of take over. That seems to be what's kind of happening right now with this whole Big Baller brand. But it was fun while it lasted, right? How long did it last? A year? Maybe? Not even? Year and a half? I don't know. I can't remember how long the Big Baller brand can say that it had a sustained life support system attached to it. So, shout out to LeVar Ball. You know, I guess it'll be on to the next thing. I don't know what the next thing could be for him, but I'm sure that they'll come up with something. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It is funny to see at a local volleyball tournament where they just got this big sale to just try to get rid of as much stuff as we possibly can. I do kind of like the Stay in Your Lane t-shirt, though. You know, I want to be careful wearing it, though, because somebody will think you're a victim or something like that, right? Like, what was the name? Christine Leahy? You know, remember she was that victim because, you know, he told her to stay in your lane. Yeah. Anyway, cash me outside on that, bro. So still a lot to get into coming up at 9 o'clock. We will get into our nightly Falcon flyover. Now, if you didn't catch it earlier today, Grady Jarrett was in studio with Dukes and Bell. So fresh off of his brand new signed, sealed, and delivered contract to make him a Falcon, not for life, but at least 4 more years, you know, for the Atlanta Falcons, which kind of can be life for defensive linemen out there. He was in studio with Dukes and Bell. We're going to play some clips, actually, of all of that interview that they had. There was some good stuff in there. So we will play some clips of all that as part of the Falcon flyover as well. Watching some Braves baseball as they are down 1-0 right now as Braves do bat in the third inning. Ozzie's on first. And we'll see if they can get anything going, one out thus far. Trying to win the series tonight, or at least ensure that they will win the series and take 2 out of 3 from the Milwaukee Brewers with the rubber match potentially being tomorrow if they lose tonight. And then back home after the All-Star break, playing the Washington Nationals. Feels like it's been a while since they've been back to SunTrust Park. But playing the Nationals coming up for 4 games in what could be, you know, a very interesting series. Somehow the Braves kind of stubbed their toe these next couple of nights, and Washington can gain some momentum. Who knows? You know, they come in here kind of red hot. You heard Gabe talk about, by the way, in his interview, Washington feels like maybe they're the second or third, or I should say maybe the third best team in the National League behind the Dodgers and the Braves. I mean, are they the third best team in the NL behind Atlanta, behind L.A.? That's a bold statement, Cotton, but maybe they are the third best team right now. Alan says, if you're going to pay $5 for that shirt, that's $4.99 too much. I don't know. I kind of like that Stay in Your Lane t-shirt. Kind of cool looking. All right, when we get back, Tiger Woods said basically what we've been trying to tell you for a few months now as we get ready for the British Open. Chuck Reed in the Key Studios on the John Chuck Reed Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.